beloved in the Lord. Let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins unto God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for His forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. grant us the Spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and Spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for Fourth Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the 18th chapter. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread so that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She's in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed at herself, saying, After I'm worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I still have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me.
You have said, Seek my face. My heart says to you, Your face, Lord, do I see.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence.
I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the first chapter. Brothers, you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all heaven, all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerful works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the world, whose kingdom shall have no end. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, the light of the world to come. Amen.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is from Genesis chapter 18, especially these verses. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." This is our text. As we unpack this reading from Genesis 18, I want to give you very briefly the lay of the land. The first part of the sermon, we're going to be considering the hospitality that Abraham showed to the visitors that appeared at his tent. And in the second half, we'll be considering the promise that he and Sarah received from those visitors. When we hear that the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, we already know more about this strange visitor than Abraham does. Sitting at his tent flap in the heat of the day, Abraham doesn't know who it is. He has zero clue. It's a reminder that one never knows who might show up on any given day. In fact, the letter to the Hebrews adds another wrinkle, another layer to this when it says, "Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Speaking of Abraham in Genesis 18. So one never knows when angels or even the Lord might appear. But the point in Hebrews is not simply that we should entertain angels if they show up. Rather, the point is actually about strangers. Mere mortals are worthy of good hospitality. Every human being bears the image of God and thus has inherent worth and dignity. Abraham's situation, as we see him in Genesis 18, is different than Martha's in Luke chapter 10. Martha knew exactly who her guest was, and she couldn't understand why her sister Mary was just sitting there and not being more hospitable. You can almost hear Martha crying out, "Jesus is here. Come on, Mary. You know, up and at him. Lend a hand." But Abraham's situation is different. Abraham doesn't know. Through the shimmering heat waves of the noon desert, he simply sees three men standing in front of him. To me, the fact that he doesn't know who it is makes his actions even more remarkable. I mean, you heard it read. The speed at which Abraham flies into action is amazing. Of course, we say, if we knew that it was an angel or Jesus, we'd be on our feet in an instant. But would we? Do we make haste to serve our brother or sister when they appear at our door? All Abraham knows is that three strangers draw near. We know more. We know that this is an appearance of the Lord. That's why the image of the Holy Trinity appears on the bulletin cover. When Abraham receives them with hospitality, he's receiving the Lord himself. And it seems to me that when they appear coming out of the desert, they probably didn't look glorious, shining with light or something like that. It seems like they were more likely to appear in a lowly and wretched form, naked, hungry, tired from the journey, almost like exiles who had just been released from a prison. At least that seems to be how Abraham regards them, because he runs from the tent flap to meet them, and he bows down to the earth, and he is entreating them to come in O Lord, he says, if I found favor in your sight, don't pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you come to your servant. And they're more than glad to do so. Abraham, Sarah, and the servants get to work. Hurry, hurry, knead the dough and make cakes. Hurry, grab a calf, tender and good, from the flock. It reminds me how the loving father received back the prodigal son. Kill the fattened calf. And the flurry of activity here culminates in Abraham taking curds and milk and the calf that he prepared and setting it before them. And he stood under the tree while they ate. A beautiful picture of hospitality. But before we go further, I think we should reflect on that a little bit more. Did you notice where Abraham started? He was at the door, which is to say that he was ready. He was waiting. He was even on the lookout for someone in need of hospitality. He didn't view other people as impositions or as bothers, but in the stranger, he saw an opportunity to serve. I wonder if while he saw these three appearing, if he didn't think of Adam, our first father, kicked out of the Garden of Eden, exiled because of what Satan had done. Or perhaps Abraham was reflecting on his own personal experience. You remember how in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees, his homeland, and travel 1,000 miles to the land of Canaan. And then he spent many years wandering up and down that land. So when he sees those three, he remembers Adam, he remembers his own situation, he sees their need and he is ready to serve them. What a beautiful picture this is of a man who is generous and open-handed toward others. And he's especially ready to help those who suffer for the faith. He knows that many who believe will be wanderers and exiles, will suffer and be persecuted, and he is ready to help them. And Abraham doesn't wait until they knock at the door and ask for hospitality. He doesn't crack it open, you know, this far to ask who's there. He sits at the entrance and he sees them from afar and he runs to meet them. He runs as if he's afraid someone else might get there first and have these guests instead of him. Sitting at the door, that's how we picture Abraham. Ready to serve with a heart shaped by kindness. What an example for us. And how much more should we be ready to show hospitality? In the parable of the sheep and the goats from Matthew chapter 25, do you remember what Jesus says? He says, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, feeding them, clothing them, visiting them, giving them a cup of cold water, you did it to me." To me, Jesus says. And that's how Abraham acted, and it really was to me, to the Lord, though Abraham didn't yet know it. Now, I'm sure there are lots of ways we can apply this to our own lives individually and personally, but it occurs to me that we ought to consider how we apply this to ourselves as a congregation. What hospitality can we show? How do we welcome the strangers into our midst? Maybe on a very practical level, we could simply ask this. How do you handle it when a stranger takes your parking space or your pew? Are you sitting at the door waiting to welcome them in, scooting over? Or are you wondering, don't they know this is where I sit? A small thing, really. But how we welcome people actually is important. How we are ready with kindness, to bring them into our midst and to share with them the hospitality that we enjoy and the word of our Lord that we have and the gifts that he gives us here in his church. So that's the first part of the sermon, the hospitality and graciousness that Abraham shows, which perhaps is mirrored by us or perhaps finds us a little bit wanting. Abraham is gracious to his visitors. But perhaps the biggest part of this reading is not so much what Abraham does, which is amazing, but rather what God does. For it is the Lord who would be gracious to Abraham. For the second time, God promises to Abraham a son whose name will be Isaac. In chapter 17, he had just told Abraham, "You will have a son," but now he comes again, appears at Abraham's tent, and tells him for a second time, it seems so that Sarah will hear it. I wonder if Abraham has said to Sarah, "Sarah, you know, God told me that we're going to have a son," but maybe she didn't believe it until she hears it now from the mouth of God himself. They said to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." And the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him, and Sarah was thinking, they'd got the wrong tent. It's not us, Abraham. Send them on, because Abraham and Sarah were old. I know some of you feel old, but Abraham and Sarah were really old. Advanced in years, the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah, and so she laughed to herself. Not out of joy, but out of skepticism. "After I am worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" "I don't think so," she says. And the Lord hears. He hears that laugh, and he is unwilling for Sarah to have the last laugh. He will have the greatest laugh of all. Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And the answer is no. It is not too hard for the Lord to give a child to Abraham and Sarah. And it is not too hard for the Lord to show hospitality to them. And it is not too hard for the Lord to grant his grace to sinners like us. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And as proof, he says, "At the appointed time, I shall return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And Sarah is sitting in the back saying, I didn't laugh. I don't know what that was, but it wasn't me laughing." And the Lord says, "No, but you did laugh. And you're going to laugh even more when that son, Isaac, is born." What is the point of this? It's not simply that the Lord chose to bless this old man and old woman who were childless. The point was that the Lord was going to be faithful to his promises, and his promise was that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the serpent, and his promise was to Abraham that his descendants would be like the stars of the heavens and the sand of the seashore. And the Lord's promise was that a son would come, and from his line would come the greater son, the one who puts laughter on all of our lips, the one who pours out his hospitality upon us, the child who would stretch out his arms upon the cross that he might receive sinners like you and me, even those who have failed to show hospitality, that he might receive us with his forgiveness, life, and salvation. And so it happened. Isaac was born. And his name is significant. Isaac means he laughs. And I can't help but think that every time Sarah says his name, she gets a little chuckle. Isaac, he laughs. I laugh. The Lord laughs. The son is born. The promise is being fulfilled. And that's what Isaac is. He is the result not only of a physical union of Abraham and Sarah, he is the result of the promise that the Lord made. You might say that he is like a down payment of the greater promise that is to come and the laughter that will follow for all eternity. And the children of Abraham are those who believe after the example of faithful Abraham. The children of Abraham are you and me. And we are those who receive the gracious hospitality and blessing of our God, not only through Isaac, but through his descendants, our Lord Jesus Christ. For greater even than the conception of Isaac, who was conceived beyond the powers of the flesh, because his parents were old, almost dead, and the possibility of their having a child was beyond nature. But even more, the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit apart from the union of a man and a woman. The child of the promise, who came and was born for you and for me. We consider Abraham to be the father of all who believe. All who believe in what? All who believe in Jesus Christ. And going back to the gospel reading, that is the reason why Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's not because it's a bad thing to show hospitality to Jesus, to welcome him in and to serve him, but because the better portion is to be served by our Lord. The better portion is to receive his hospitality and the promises and gifts that he has. And so Mary sat at his feet. Even as you are sitting now, why are you here? Are you here simply to hear a message about the hospitality of Abraham and how we are called to show hospitality to others? I mean, that's good, but that's not all. You are here to sit at the feet of Jesus because you know that Jesus is the one who has the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the hospitality that you need. It wasn't just a fattened calf that God slaughtered that he might welcome you into his house, into his family, and into his kingdom. It was the very Lamb of God who was sacrificed and prepared for you. This is the promise of redemption given to Abraham and Sarah, the promise of redemption fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and the promise of redemption that is announced to you today. Our Lord is gracious, and he receives you with all your sins, with all your struggles, with all your failings, and he says, "Come into my tent," for he has been sitting at the door watching and waiting for you, and he runs out to greet you and says, "Stay here. Come in. Quick, hurry, prepare everything, the word, the sacraments, the water, the bread, the wine, bring it all out and serve my people." For he is a God full of steadfast love, gracious and merciful to you and to me again today. And the point of whatever hospitality we show, especially as a congregation, is not that we might pat ourselves on the back for being welcoming to the stranger, but rather so that they too might know this graciousness of God to sinners, to strangers, to exiles, and to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for your innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Lord, in your mercy, send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy, bless your word everywhere you plant it, but especially in the children who attended our vacation Bible school, that it may take root, grow, and bear much fruit throughout their lives. Lord, in your mercy, bestow your grace on all nations of the earth and bring an end to violence and terror. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. Lord, in your mercy, watch over and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Rachel, and the Zaneski's neighbor, Stephanie, and give them and their families great joy at the time of birth, keeping mother and child safe and healthy. Lord, in your mercy. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Look with mercy upon Jim, who is hospitalized. Grant him speedy treatment, relief, and healing. Look with mercy also upon Diane, Marilyn, Lori, Julian, Jared, Donna, John, Lori, and Evan, Donna, Mary, Dale, Bruce, Kay, and our brother Dave and Janet. Give your peace to all who mourn, especially to Eric, Bruce and Chrissy, Michael and Tu and their children. Comfort them with the hope of eternal life in Christ and the resurrection to come on the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. And bless our youth, Alexa, Pepper, Simeon, Caitlin, Megan, Lana, and Amy from Christ Lutheran in Troy, as they prepare to begin receiving Holy Communion next Sunday. Lord, in your mercy. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power
and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with Abraham, the patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Our psalm today is Psalm 27, starting at the first verse, a psalm of thanks. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me and eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble. Oh, though army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though the war arises against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For he has hid me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me up high on the rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, that I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy, that I will sing, make merry to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.